Good morning and welcome to the Heartland United Methodist Church. My name is Paul Gruenberg and I want to welcome you as we gather together virtually to worship God. May God be praised. Let's just start with a word of prayer. Almighty God, we are grateful for this opportunity to gather virtually together and ask that you would be glorified in this hour. Lord, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us as we gather together to worship you. Lord, that you would again be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, as we gather together, grab a pencil, grab a piece of paper or some writing material and your Bible as we open up God's Word today to look at this day in the Christian calendar. And this day is called Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Now, before we get into Palm Sunday, I want to let you know, or I have a question for you. And the question is this: what is something that you like to finish? What is something that you like to finish? Write that down on your page. Write that down so that you can remember when I begin to talk about what it is or something that I like to finish. Now, as we come back to Palm Sunday, what is Palm Sunday really all about? We don't have any palms today because the shops are closed and we couldn't get any palms. But Palm Sunday is about a time in the life of Jesus when Jesus was about to enter into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And Scripture is pretty clear. In John 12, chapter 12, it says this: the next day, a great crowd had come for the festival, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus had been doing some pretty incredible work in the world. In fact, just recently, Jesus had healed a man or brought a man back to life who had been dead not one, not two, not three, but 4 days. He had been dead 4 days. This wasn't one of those moments where someone fainted and said, hey, look at, they're dead, and Jesus comes by and says, hey, wake up. This wasn't one of those moments where someone was knocked out and Jesus came and revived him. Science can't explain how this happened. And the people in Jesus' day knew that Jesus was something special. And he was coming into Jerusalem. It says of the people, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna, which means save. Jesus was there to save them. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. One of the other Gospels writes, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And blessed is the King of Israel. Blessed is the King of Israel. And it's interesting that this idea of King of Israel would be so odd for us. But back then, the Israelites were waiting for the next son of David to come to be the king, to release the Israelites from the captivity of the Roman government. And Jesus was that man. And they were breaking palm branches and waving them and throwing their cloaks on the ground as a sign of honor to the king. So as we think in terms of Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, let's just take a moment to worship God, to say to God that we love you, that we want to worship you. Sing along with me. You remember the words. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord our God. Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory. glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord our God. Hosanna in the highest. As we worship God, as in your mind you think about Jesus coming before us, and to honor him, you throw your coat off and you throw it down before him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And now it's time to worship him. So let's worship God together. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, just worship the Lord. Thank the Lord for all that he's providing for you during these days. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest pleasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. So come and worship God now. Almighty God, we come and we worship you this morning and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to gather, as we continue to worship you this morning, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice, and Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, remember, Jesus had been doing some pretty cool things, raising people from the dead, but he also was helping the outcasts, those on the fringe of society, those who didn't feel like they belonged. He was helping them to belong, helping them to know that they were a child of God and that God loved them. That was so important in Jesus' ministry. And as I was thinking about Jesus' purpose, I thought about things like that. And I was rummaging around the house and I found an old toy that I had. Here's the handle. And here, now that you see what it is, it's a top. It's a top. And you put this in here like so. And I didn't have any string, so I got some kite string and I braided it together and I had lost the handle. And so I found this wooden handle. And I put the string on it. Have to dip my hand in some water because I don't want to put my hand in my mouth. It's those kinds of days. And to use this top, to find out what its purpose for, you have to have the different pieces. And so you put the string in through the hole just a little bit and you begin to turn the handle, because we want this top to fulfill its purpose this morning for us. And that purpose includes spinning. And so when a top does what it's supposed to do, it brings joy to us. It helps us to know a little bit about gravity and inertia and all that kind of stuff. And there's that top spinning just as it was meant to do. And Jesus came to Jerusalem to fulfill a purpose too. To fulfill a purpose not only to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to be recognized, but also to show us that we are loved. You see, Jesus' purpose in coming to Jerusalem is directly tied to the cross behind me. Jesus' focus was the cross. He had already told his disciples that he would need to die for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus did exactly what he set out to do. As we think about purpose, John the Baptist, a forerunner to Jesus, there was a proclamation in Malachi. And in Malachi, it is said of Jesus that someone will come to prepare the way for him. And in a very real way, John the Baptist did that. And we continue to do that today. We continue to prepare a way for Jesus not only to enter our hearts, but to enter into the hearts of others. And we need to be about the business, our purpose, a part of our purpose, or the business that we have is to help prepare the way for Jesus for others. We are about preparing the way for the Lord our God. And so let us be about preparing. Hey, I asked you earlier about a question. I said, what is something that you like to finish? What is something that you like to finish? I like to finish a good book. It needs to be a good book. You've read books before that maybe dragged on and you found yourself not coming back to it, almost dreading reading it because it wasn't carrying along the storyline. I like to finish a project. There are these do-it-yourself people who love to do little work projects, and when it's finished, you stand back and you go, wow, I really enjoyed that project, and it is finished. There's nothing like finishing a project. For me, I also like to finish a good bowl of ice cream. Can I get some thumbs up on that? And a nice, hot, or warm chocolate chip cookie. I can't wait for this coronavirus stuff to be finished so that we can gather together again to worship God and then go down to the fellowship hall and eat some of those other work projects, those lemon bars, those muffins, those things that you create, that you finish and bring that others may enjoy. When we talk about purpose, when we talk about the things that God has done for us, when we talk about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, he had a purpose. He had a purpose. And during Lent, we've been going through some of the last things that Jesus had said. For instance, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it reminds us that we as Christians, we as followers of Jesus, need to be about the act of forgiveness. We need to forgive others when they have hurt us, whether they ask or say that they're sorry or ask for an apology or not. God says we need to forgive them. He reminded us with the thief on the cross. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. And it reminds me that everyone you know who is without Jesus, who doesn't know Jesus, up until the very last breath they take, they can enter into the kingdom of heaven if they just say, Jesus, I believe in you. Today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus said to his mom, woman, behold your son. And to John, he said, John, behold your mother. And Jesus reminds us that family is important. And during these days of the coronavirus, we don't want to be knocking each other around because we're so tied together. We need to give each other space and to offer that forgiveness sometimes. And then Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That moment when Jesus was bearing the sins of the world, his Father turned his head. And Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? You know, Jesus used a word on the cross. He used this word, finished. And in John 19, beginning with verse 38, he says, "Later, knowing that everything had now been finished and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop and raised it up to Jesus. When he had received the drink, Jesus then said, 'It is finished.'" It is finished. I wonder, what is it? What is it that Jesus had finished? It could have been about his life ending in that moment, because it goes on to say, "With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." It could have been that Jesus was about to die and that his life was finished. But I don't believe that that's it. I think it's something so much deeper. Remember, the Israelites lived in a relationship with God through the law, through the Mosaic law. And that law said that you needed to, when you did something wrong, to bring a sacrifice to the temple and offer that sacrifice so that your sins could be forgiven. And in that moment, Jesus, the Lamb of God, perfect, sinless, hung on the cross, and he became that final sacrifice. That final sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, for your sins, for my sins, for the sins that happened in the past, for the sins that happened in the present, and for the sins that will happen in the future. God forgives us because Jesus sacrifices his life for us. And so when Jesus talks about it being finished, he's talking about an old covenant that is now going to be done away with. And Jesus is going to usher into us a new covenant with God so that we might be in relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus' act of grace for you and for me gives us that direct access to God the Father. There's no more priest that's needed. I'm going to say this carefully. We don't have to rely on the law to keep us in relationship with God. Now, I say that the old covenant, it was finished, and a new covenant was being created for you and for me. The problem with this idea of the law being gone, that it is finished, is that there are a lot of people who walk around and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I can do good deeds for other people. That makes me a good person." And these are important things to do. The law is important to us in that as we follow the law, it helps us to be good people. But we're being good people not just to be good, but as an expression of our faith in Jesus Christ, who calls us to follow him, who calls us to serve others. In the coronavirus, as the NBA began to shut down, the guy who would have been the rookie of the year, first draft choice last year, said that he would donate his salary to pay for all of the concession workers and the workers of the arena in which he played for the rest of the month. This was back in March. And he did that, and I don't know if he's carrying that on through April or not. And even in our own sports city, our quarterback for the Detroit Lions, Matthew Stafford, he and his wife donated $5,000 to three or four restaurants in the area of where hospitals are so that hospital workers, those who are on the front lines, could go get a free meal. Other coaches, other people are raising money to help with those who are in need, to help those who need protection from the virus. These are good deeds. But God will not let me into heaven based on good deeds. No, that's not going to happen. You see, if we were to be allowed into heaven based on our goodness, based on our ability to follow the law, then Jesus' death on the cross would have been for nothing. When he died on the cross, It closed out the old covenant and it created the new covenant. When Jesus said, "It is finished." Finished is that word of completion, that word that says, what I started is done. Those work projects, those wonderful baked goods that you make, when it comes out of the oven, it is finished. It's completed. It's a statement of fact. But in the Greek, it also says or renders to us that this finished act, this completed moment has lingering results. They say it is a continuing action, or it has a significance or status long after the act is completed. It is finished, meaning that it still has significance for us today. Not only those who knew Jesus then, but for all from that moment on and through eternity. It has significance. And you have to realize that significance carries on to those who are still seeking Jesus today. The significance of Jesus' death on the cross will have meaning in their life as they come to Jesus, as they see that wonderful act of love and grace. Jesus dying for their sins. You see, God has done everything, and we have to remember this. God has done everything that needs to be done in order for us to have an eternal relationship with God. Let me say that again. God has done everything that needs to be done in order for us to have an eternal relationship with Him. That is good news. Can I have an amen? Thumbs up. You see, God is like on a top of a staircase, a long, long staircase. God the Father stands there. And at the bottom of the staircase is Jesus, who opens wide the gate with His death on the cross and says, "Everyone who enters here, everyone who enters by Me can come into the kingdom of God." And then we follow those laws. We do those good deeds as an act of obedience to Jesus, as an act of faith in Jesus. And we begin to climb those stairs towards our Heavenly Father. And as we climb those stairs, God extends His arms out and says, "You are My faithful child. Come. Come." Everyone needs to hear those words from God. But it is God and God alone who provides the way. If you walk away with anything, remember, Jesus' act on the cross was everything we need in order for us to get into heaven. It is finished. There is no other way. And what's amazing about those stairs is when we get tired on our journey and we're working to be an obedient servant of God's, to love Jesus, to allow the Holy Spirit into our lives to direct us, when we get to those moments of tiredness, amazingly enough, those stairs turn into an escalator and it just draws us closer to God. Isn't that wonderful imagery? God drawing us closer to Himself, that we might be in an eternal relationship with Him. This act of grace, this act of wonderful grace that God has gifted us with. I came across a story, a true story that took place in New York in 1935, the winter of, and in that moment the nation was in the throes of the Great Depression, and it's hard for us to imagine as an affluent society what it must have been like to not have food, to not have the things that you needed to sustain life. Well, actually, I think with the coronavirus, we may be getting a little bit of an understanding of what it might have been like. The story goes on and says there were long lines of hungry people standing in front of soup kitchens waiting for something to eat. Jobs were virtually non-existent, and money was as precious as it was scarce. The story goes on to say that there was a man by the name of His last name was LaGuardia, who was the mayor of New York City during those dark days. And LaGuardia seemed to have a genuine, heartfelt love for the common man, especially the downtrodden. And one time during a newspaper strike, he spent his Sunday mornings reading the comics on the radio, knowing that there were children in New York who did not have that opportunity because of the newspaper strike. And he read it with all of the appropriate inflections because he didn't want the children of New York City to be deprived of that one little enjoyment during those difficult days. He was well known for his blustery outbursts against bums that exploited the poor. That sounds like a man who knows Christ. He was completely unpredictable and full of surprises. So one night, he shows up at a night court in the poorest ward of the city. And the story continues. He dismissed the presiding judge for the evening so the judge could go back to his family. And then he got up and sat on the bench. As it happened on that bitterly cold night, a tattered old woman stood before the bench accused of stealing a loaf of bread. You must understand, these were desperate times. A lot of people were going hungry. With quivering lips and tear-filled eyes, she admitted to the theft. She confessed. But she added, "My daughter's husband has deserted her. She is sick, and her children are crying because they have nothing to eat." The shopkeeper, however, refused to drop the charges. "It's a bad neighborhood, Your Honor," he said, "but she's guilty. The law must be upheld. She's got to be punished to teach other people a lesson." LaGuardia knew that the shopkeeper, the accuser, was correct. The very office that he swore to uphold required that he enforced the letter of the law. LaGuardia sighed. He turned to the old woman. He said, "I've got to punish you. The law makes no exceptions." Then he pronounced the sentence. The old woman shuddered when she heard the words, $10 or 10 days in jail. $10 or 10 days in jail. But already the judge was reaching into his pocket. He pulled out a $10 bill and threw it into his hat. "There's the $10 fine, which I now remit. Furthermore, I'm fining everyone in the courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that their grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant." Sitting in that courtroom that night were about 70 petty criminals, a few New York policemen, and her accuser, a fuming, red-faced shopkeeper. The bewildered old grandmother left the courtroom with $47.50, which was enough to buy groceries for several months. Friends, we got to remember that God is our judge, and God follows the law. And it says that we, in the scripture says that we all fall short of the glory of God. We cannot on our own fulfill the law. That was the old covenant. And God, although is our judge, he is a gracious judge who sends his son to pay the penalty for our disobedience to God and our disobedience to each other. Jesus pays the penalty for our sin, not with a $10 bill, but with his life. During these difficult days, we yearn for when the virus no longer holds us captive, when we might be set free. But until that time, be gracious to those around you. Be gracious to those around you. A woman and her husband were in a store that I don't frequent. I happened to go in and grab a couple of things. And we were up at the register, and if you've been noticing, there are those X's on the floor, and those X's are 6 feet apart, the social distancing requirement for all people. And so there wasn't anyone behind me, and I was just kind of looking around at what some of the other things were doing. And then as they started to move forward, the woman turned around to me and said, "Thank you. Thank you for keeping your distance." And I didn't think that there was much to do about that. But in the same instance, we need to turn to Jesus. And we need to be reminded to thank Jesus every day for that act of love, that act of grace. Another story. I was in the store, another store, and it was early in the morning, and I was going back to the paper aisle to look for paper products. One of those paper products was toilet paper. And as I was getting down the big aisle way towards the paper aisle, I noticed that people were coming out of that aisle with rolls, a 9-pack of toilet paper, Charmin toilet paper. And in my outside, I wanted to be calm and collected, but in my inside, I'm thinking, how many of those packages of toilet paper are left? And I got down to the aisle, and there was a guy in front of me, and he was kind of hemming and hawing and going slow, and I'm like, "Guy, gotta get going." And it was down at the other end, I could see there were about maybe 10 rolls or 10 packs of toilet paper left. And so this guy is going slow, and thank God he finally stopped and reached for something on a shelf so I could get around him. And I'm going to toward that toilet paper. People are coming from the other end of the aisle, and some are grabbing some toilet paper. And I'm wondering, is there going to be enough? Well, I got to the toilet paper, and of course there are little signs on it reminding people that there are very little of these items, and to be gracious with other people. And so I grabbed a pack of toilet paper and put it in my cart, and I went to go grab another one. And there were maybe, like I said, maybe 10 or 9 packs of toilet paper up there. And as I went to reach, there's that scripture in my head of Jesus saying, "I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." And I thought that there might be somebody who needs this toilet paper more than me, who is a little bit more desperate, who has maybe very little at home. We need to remember as Christians to serve others as Jesus served us and showed us the way. It is finished. We don't have to follow the law to be in relationship with our Heavenly Father. But we do need to be in relationship with Jesus. Hey, let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to worship you. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would continue to draw us to yourself, that you would continue to remind us that good deeds are because we love you, not because we want to be with you or because we want to get into heaven. And Lord, we ask that as we remember this act of grace, Lord, we ask that you would draw us to yourself, that we might be the people that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I got a familiar song for us to sing as a responsive song. Join with me as we sing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing I know that during these difficult moments that God is supplying our every need. And I want to thank so many of you for being faithful and giving your tithes and offerings by using the U.S. mail or by going to our website and hitting give and filling out a form so that you can give electronically, or even some have called the banks and have asked them to send the check to the church. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being faithful to God to give back to God a portion of what He has so generously given to all of us. So thank you. And now as we close our service, I just want to remind you that God is faithful, that God is amazing, and that God loves you. Go in peace, always praising God, knowing that God walks with you and that God will love you to the end of time, which will be forever. May God bless you and keep you and your family safe. And we pray that God would protect all of those who are dealing with coronavirus on the front line. Lord, that you would provide for them, that you would protect their families as they go from work to home. Lord, that you would just knock this coronavirus down. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would also provide medicine, vaccines. Lord, that you would help those who are seeking those answers to find them. Lord, we thank you and praise you for life. Lord, we thank you that even in death, we will have life. And we lift up the family of Mary Monroe, who died a few weeks ago. Lord, we ask that you would sustain them during these days. Lord, that there will be a day when we can come together soon, Lord, and celebrate her life together. God, we thank you and praise you for all that you provide. Lord, we ask that you would give us a servant's heart, Lord, to share with others. Lord, to trust that you will provide that next roll of toilet paper when we need it. And God, that you would just bless our efforts to be your people. And God, we thank you and praise you for Jesus, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people again say, amen. May God bless you and keep you, and may God's face always shine upon you. In Jesus' name, take care, my friends, and we will see you later.